Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, June 27, 2007. The only June 27, 2007 in the history of humanity. Let us keep that in mind. This is Glenn Klein Online, not a dress rehearsal. This is a live webcast tonight, and we want you to get on the phone right away to talk to the president of the Gospel Revolution. The Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline is available for you right now at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We're going to be having a guest later on in the program. We have a lot to talk about tonight. And Michael, Michael, sometimes, you know, we athletes have just got to play hurt. And Michael's, you're day-to-day. But as one guy said, we're all day-to-day. But
yes, that's true.
What's going on down there in Houston?
Well, even though it doesn't sound like me, it's me. Just a bit froggy here, so.
It sounds like you.
Just a couple of notes lower.
We're going to be taking your emails tonight, as always, and fire those away. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. is the email address to get online with Michael and to ask your questions, make your comments. Also, keep them brief if you so will, because that helps us move things right along. And also, include where you're writing from, please, so that everybody can hear that and we can be encouraged with that information. 1-800-436-3260, who will be the first tonight? It's always, you know, Michael, my son Judo works for me here at the Sun Bar, and he says that sales is like reading a 500-page book. The first 100 pages you really got to plod through, and but after you get there, then it goes pretty quick. So as soon as we get our first caller, because we're promoting and we're absolutely encouraging you to call. As soon as we get our first call, we know that phone's going to start ringing off the hook. So 1-800-436-3260 is the number. 1-800-436-3260. So much to talk about tonight, Michael.
Absolutely.
I really don't know where to start, but I am going to start with a post that we did two posts ago about Illinois Senator Barack Obama, who, you know, he's running for president?
Yes, I do.
And he's from our great state of Illinois. You knew that, right?
Yes, he is.
And Barack Obama is a member of the United Church of Christ. And he was at their General Synod in Hartford, Connecticut, and he said, and I quote, "Somewhere, somehow, along the way, faith stopped being used to bring us together and started being used to drive us apart. It got hijacked. Part of it is because of the so-called leaders of the Christian right who've been eager to exploit what divides us." But he says this, "My faith teaches me that I can sit in church, pray all I want, but I won't be fulfilling God's will unless I go out and do the Lord's work, to do the Lord's work." So once again, Michael, a very, very intelligent man, articulate, is completely schizophrenic in what he's saying. He's right. He's right.
Yes, he's right, but he's wrong. Yeah, no, it's something that we witnessed many, many times. It's the ability to identify the thing that is absolutely atrocious about evangelical Christianity, but not realizing that we're really still a part of it, even though we may belong to a different church, that the seeds of where the evangelical right is now is in the very statement that he made about what he believes his faith teaches him as to, that he has to do the will of God or do the work of God, that working is what pleases the Lord or puts him in God's will.
But the Bible is very specific about what the will of God is. The will of God, it's just like when we say that they fell from grace. It's very specific what falling from grace is. But the will of God and falling from grace is not the way that our common culture interprets it, is it?
No, it's definitely, these are Bible terms, exactly, and that's one of the things that I've dealt with over the years, and it's the reason that I like sticking to Bible terminology, and I like sticking with the King James Version of the Bible.
Yeah, whatever.
Where all this got screwed up from.
You and your King James.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what you can do with that King James Bible, can't you?
I know. I've done it for several years. And but no, it's amazing that you know, that the Bible terminology that that I've been able to stick with, but go back and let that terminology read itself and define itself within the context. And you know, there's a whole lot to talk about way beyond that, but just getting all of these terms, the will of God, the end of the world, being in the flesh, being in the spirit, all of those things, we've not grappled after another terminology such as the gospel of inclusion, which nobody really knows what that is anyway. And even the promoters of it don't seem to be able to say what that is. I've never ever read it, even in the book that's out. It still doesn't say what it is. But the terminology that's there is plenty enough for us to deal with. And I'm really, really excited that I've been able to stick with the terminology that's there and let people see that terminology within its context. Is quite shocking.
Well, there's so much to talk about, and we want to get to that, and I kind of want to dovetail into the discussion of kind of reclaiming the time of fellowship together. They call it church, but you're kind of experiencing that as well down
yes.
there. But let's stick to the specific topic. Now, we know, without a question, it's well established in this effort and on this webcast that the Christian right seeks to divide and conquer.
Yes.
The most divisive thing that you could possibly say is that one group of people are better with God than other people. That's where all the wars throughout history have come from. So clearly, that's not a good thing to say. So we're in complete agreement with Senator Obama on that one. But Michael, talk about, he says you've got to go out and do the work of God, do the Lord's work. Talk about what the will of God actually is in the Bible, and what does it mean to do the work of God?
Well, doing the Lord's work is kind of like the term cleanliness is next to godliness. There's no doing the Lord's work issue. There's, I think, the doing the work of the Lord, whichever way that you want to say it. If somebody's going to be doing the work of the Lord, that would be living in freedom. And that is the work of the Lord, is to walk in freedom. God's work was completely finished, and God has completely rested in his own work in Christ, as Paul described it, as comparing it to creation, and that on the Sabbath God rested. And he said, therefore there remaineth, speaking of before the cross, a rest to the people of God. So this isn't a work, it's a rest that we have entered into. And if you enter into the work of Christ, you don't enter into a work, you enter into a rest. Now, it's not to say there might not be a lot of work that you do, but it's not the work of the Lord. It's because the work of the Lord has been completed, the will of God has been completed, the will of God is completely fulfilled. And there's nothing that we can add to that. In fact, adding to it, Paul taught, is what subtracts from the gospel.
But the Bible actually says that the will of God is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
Yes, there really isn't any confusion about it. He is the express will of the Father. And I remember the very first times I started speaking up about the law, and I remember this group of pastors that I sat down with, and they told me that the law was the express will of God. And I remember I literally came up out of my seat, and I said, "Gee, how can you as believers say that God's law is the express image of God?" It's because the Hebrews says that Jesus is the express image of God and the express will of God. God's law is not God's character. Jesus Christ is God's character. So You know, it's one of those, it's not one of those things, it is the thing. It seems like we never change topics, we change ways of talking about the topic. But in all that I teach, Glenn, we really never ever change the topic.
Exactly.
The topic is always Jesus.
We always get back around to it eventually.
It never changes. We don't get back around to it. We never leave it.
Right.
It really, we never leave that subject. It's just we take on different Bible terminology that has taken away from the discussion of this being all about Jesus, about it is the kingdom of God, it is Jesus Christ. But we never, ever, ever have left the subject. We stay on the same topic. We use many different avenues to talk about it, but we never leave topic. It's all Jesus. It's all the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that is the total fulfillment of the Word of God, the will of God, the work of God. There's nothing left to be fulfilled. When we step into understanding, we don't, the power of believing is not found in what we believe about God. The power in believing is understanding what God believes about us. And that's where we find our freedom.
1-800-436-3260 is toll-free Glenn Klein online hotline. And let's go to that hotline now. We want to welcome online Chris Meyer from Augusta, Georgia. Chris!
Hey!
How are you tonight?
Doing great.
Chris. You're burning the midnight oil? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, this my dad, Dan Myers, he'd talked to you earlier. He was just really wanted me to let you know how much we appreciated having
you. Hey, Chris, can I get you to turn down your computer because it's on a delay?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. Okay. My brother from another mother. this is, ladies and gentlemen, the family that hosted Mike in the Augusta, Georgia area. What was that, about a month ago or 2 months ago?
Almost 2 months now.
Yeah, it's been at least 2 months.
Time flies when we're having fun, right, gentlemen?
That's right. Well, Mike, we really enjoyed it. We wanted to call you earlier to let you know, but we really had a great time. It was awesome, and it was.
Oh, I enjoyed it myself.
And you showed so much patience, which was great. A lot of.
Chris, he's used to dealing with me, brother. He's used to dealing with me. He's very practiced at that patience stuff.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, everybody had a great time, and my mom, she wanted to, a couple of times she's threatened to write you an ugly letter, and I said, well, what about? Why would you want to write something, you know, ugly? She said, well, she can't go to church anymore. She's having a hard time sitting through the services now because she kind of picks out all the, like, there's so much law that's being preached. I don't even know. So, anyway, it's been funny.
She said that. Mom,
now, well, you know, she does that tongue-in-cheek. She's not really upset with you, but it's just...
No, but that really is quite a change for your mom. How many years ago was it that you and then your dad came to embrace the gospel?
Gosh, Mike, it's got to be about at least, I guess, 10 years, probably.
That's what
for
I was thinking.
For me, it's been about 10 years, yeah.
And now your mom listened to the same thing and pretty well said, nope, no way.
Exactly. It was all around the same amount of time. My wife and I actually grabbed a hold of it with you know, both hands and just have not let go since. And you've actually been to Augusta. I guess this would have been your third time.
Yeah,
and
that's
the
right.
Other two times, you know, we had heard you. And anyway, those were great.
Actually, I was speaking at a church there the first time that I met you.
You sure were. You sure were. It was called Grace Restoration, and unfortunately, they're not as.
They're not as graceful.
They're not restoring the grace as much as
you know. It's not like being you know, either you're pregnant or you're not. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I
exactly.
mean,
it's,
you
exactly.
can't. Yeah, how pregnant are you?
Now, at what point was it that there was something? Didn't you challenge your mom about listening to a certain series? And how long ago was that before my visit there?
Well, goodness, that we have been. Gently persuading her since the initial time, which she pretty much adamantly said, look, this is, you know, I'm not going for this at all. Right. And we said, okay, you know, that's cool. And we just gently would, we wouldn't include her in the conversation so much as just talk about it around her. Yeah, isn't that good? Yeah, that's good, you know. And I knew it was just a matter of time, but she needed it just as bad as anybody. And,
yeah.
And so anyway, she finally, I guess it was probably, it was my dad actually, but it was probably a good 6 months, 8 months ago that he had finally persuaded her, said, you know, why don't you listen to the High Priest series?
Yeah,
and,
Great High Priest.
She really, yeah, the Great High Priest, and she said, okay, you know, so she listened to the tapes, and after, I guess it was, what'd she tell you, about 9 or 10 times?
I know that it was a bunch of times. She
yeah, she wore them out. She wore the tapes out. They were the tapes, and she said, you know, I'm wow, this, I can't refute this at all. So then she started listening to some more of the other teachings, and
wow.
Which is essentially, as you were saying earlier on the, just a few minutes ago, you know, it's the same theme. It's just
yeah.
a different kind of perspective, you know, a different way of talking about it, you know. Different
and that, and when you get, we're talking with Chris Meyer, ladies and gentlemen, from Augusta, Georgia, with Michael Williams, the president of the Gospel Revolution. And the toll-free line is busy right now, so if you're trying, just be patient, and we got to manifest some of that Michael Williams patience right now. But we're talking with Chris Meyer, who hosted Mike down in Augusta. And at the end of the day, gentlemen, that's all the Bible is. It's just it's different ways of looking at the same Christ.
Exactly.
Chris, doesn't Michael articulate that and demonstrate that beautifully in person?
Amazing. Amazing. And it was it's always been a pleasure to just be, you know, hear him teach. And
I mean, I don't want to be a complete kiss up, you know. I mean, you know, you got to look at the guy while he's talking. That's the only problem, you know.
Mike, are you going to put up with that? What's up with that?
Well, that's your patience that's getting
you. That's your patience. No, it was wonderful. It was really neat to have it in the home environment. It was good. And Mike was very patient.
Chris, so. Did it bankrupt you guys to do that? Did it, like,
not at all.
Did
not
set
at
you
all.
Back?
Mike is incredibly gracious, and he was very reasonably priced, in a sense. You know,
reasonably priced.
Yeah. No, it's not in any way expensive. It's just essentially picking up his expenses, you know, and those are minimum. So.
And then you just take up an offering, if you will.
Definitely take an offering up.
Michael, do we still call those offerings? Is that okay?
Sure.
We pass the hat, if you will.
Yeah. We're just not calling it the required or mandated tithe.
We're not calling it a tithe, that's for sure.
Or we could call it that, but we'll call it the Mike tithe. You know, it's not
there you go.
It's not the but I think that's been a wonderful thing too, is just speaking out about the finances, you know. I know you've always had, you know, been hesitant about it, but I think, you know, people forget, and for various reasons, and it's good to remind them. I was one of them. So.
Well, that's what we do, why we do.
Yeah.
But Chris, also, when Mike comes to your house, he brings his CDs and DVDs.
Yeah.
Did you guys take advantage of those? And I mean, you listening to them, you pass them around. How's that working for you?
Absolutely. He had a nice variety of things, and mailed. What he'll do is, generally anyway, mail them ahead, and so they're there waiting and for the meeting, and we'll just set them out, and people buy them up, and I think we did pretty good on sales. I know I bought some things.
How many total people, Chris? Do you think attended the meetings in your home? Total people.
Mike, how many was that? That was probably around, I mean, for both days, if you counted both days, probably around 8 or 10.
About 10 or so, I would say.
All right. So in other words, fellas, it's not a large group where these great teachings come from. Now, Mike's speaking to, you know, dozens and dozens of people on a weekly basis in Houston now, and obviously larger groups in Canada. But that's the point, ladies and gentlemen, is that Michael could come to your area for your family. Seriously. You invite some friends over, let them set up the recording equipment, and you guys will rock and roll. And this is how it starts. It just
a family vacation.
It's
exactly right. I have not ever seen that kind of, and you know, again, I'm not sucking up here, but I've never seen the humility in somebody before, especially of Mike's caliber of teaching and and a village to do this, just to be willing to come to somebody's house and sit down and discuss it, essentially within a family environment, meaning that there's very few people. I mean, we would have, gladly had more than the amount that showed up, and we're prepared to do that. But but Mike knew that. I mean, Mike knew that it was only going to be a very small amount.
The redemption of the World Series, Chris. The redemption of the World Series. That literally was our coming out party, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, we came out of the legalistic closet, if you will. And maybe six people in my living room?
Yeah, that'd be stretching it.
Yeah. Well, I got six kids. They came in and out from time to time.
That's right.
All right, Chris. Well, listen, thank you so much for supporting and for calling and for having a great sense of humor. And so what's the temperature in Augusta tonight?
Hot.
It's all sticky, isn't it?
It's about it didn't get too hot today. It was about 92, but the humidity was very high.
All right, now don't get ready to sin, gentlemen. But I'm going to make a lot of people envious out there tomorrow. I'm headed back to the beautiful Northwoods of Wisconsin, where the expected high is 66 degrees.
Wow!
Can you say glory, hallelujah? Because right now I'm in Tampa in an air-conditioned studio, and I'm sweating.
Yeah, I grew up in Tampa, and I tell you what.
Well, that's where your dad called me. He said he's down somewhere around here right now.
Yeah, he's got a place up there in Lake City, so, yeah.
Well, we're going to definitely look forward to seeing you guys over on this side of the bay. And, Chris, thanks a lot for your time.
Hey, thank you.
Tell your mom and your wife that says hi.
Okay, Mike. It was great talking to you.
Talk to you later. Chris. Thanks.
There's Chris Meyer, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-436-3260. The phone number is now available for your calling pleasure. 1-800-436-3260. Now, we're going to segue, Michael, very nicely into a question from Pat and Dick Salonen, I believe it's pronounced, S-A-L-O-N-E-N, from Waukesha, Wisconsin. And they say, Mike, wondering if you can let us know where and you will be in Wisconsin.
Yes. Well, you can actually do that better than I can. I know that the trip is in the process.
It's happening. Yes, it's the Lord has given us the vision, if you will.
Yes, absolutely.
And and it's going to be Pat and Dick in central Wisconsin, not too far from Waukesha. Waukesha is in the Milwaukee area, but it's going to be in the Marshfield area, which is literally smack dab in the middle of the state.
Yes.
And it will be probably somewhere in the late summer, early autumn, depending on when you consider autumn. But probably it's probably going to buttress up against, Michael, your next trip to Canada, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I've got a September Canada meeting that is coming up. I don't know the dates just right off hand.
But guaranteed.
We've got also in the August, we've got the Indiana conference.
Right.
That we're doing. So somewhere in the middle of all of that, we'll be scheduling Wisconsin.
Yeah, so just stay tuned, Pat and Dick. Of course, we will let you know via the email. We'll let you know via this radio program. And we will also let you know via the posts that go out. But that's happening. Pep Washburn putting that together. In fact, I'll tell you what, Pat and Dick, if you will call me, if you hear this, hopefully you are listening live, but if you're listening on the archive, just call me on my toll-free, which is 1-888-493-7482. Just call me during the week, 1-888-493-7482, and I'll put you directly in touch with Pep. And anybody else who's listening in the Minnesota or Michigan or Wisconsin or Illinois area, 1-888-493-7482 is my toll-free line that comes to my office. But right now, we're encouraging you to call the toll-free line that comes into the studio at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. So our last post, Michael, was entitled Bong Hits for Jesus. That was a good one.
Yes, the Supreme Court involved in this.
Yes. For those of you who are not aware, the United States Supreme Court Monday ruled that a school principal, who I believe was in Colorado, was within her rights to tear down a banner that one of her students had put up off school grounds that read, quote, "Bong hits for the number four, Jesus." And they said that if they were promoting something that the school didn't like, therefore the teacher or the principal had the right. Now, first of all, we're putting aside First Amendment rights for a second, Michael, because we do, relatively speaking, like this day on the gospel. I'm wondering if it said bong hits for Muhammad or bong hits for Buddha. I kind of like that, bong hits for Buddha. If it said something like that, bong hits for Bush, how about? You think there would have been the hubbub and the stink and that it would have gone to the Supreme Court? Not so much. But because Jesus, we can't have a chocolate Jesus, we can't have a Jesus in urine, you know, and I'm not saying that people should go out to purposely disrespect other people, but when people get all upset about this stuff, Michael, about the Lord, what they're really disrespecting the majesty. He can handle that, can't he?
Yes, it's not an insult to God. That's the thing, is that, you know, it's kind of like, I remember when it first came to my heart, I was trying to figure out the gospel of peace, and I've been studying it for almost 5 years, and I kept seeing that God wasn't angry, and I remember then Kenneth Copeland spoke, telling about how God punished somebody or something, and I, you know, Kenneth Copeland was my teacher. I mean, he was my mentor in the Word of Faith movement, and so it made me really question the gospel of peace. And I remember just going and praying and saying, "Okay, what about this?" And it just came to my heart so clearly, you know, that they're angry, not me. That it wasn't the Lord that was angry; it was that human beings were angry. And just like, you know, people looking for these offensive, you know, it's this is not offensive to Jesus one way or the other. You know, it's people that have their own offenses, and so it really should come down to First Amendment rights is what it should come down to, and not people's preference.
This is Glenn Klein online. We're talking with Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution. 1-800-436-3260 is the number to call. It's Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. We're waiting to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. You can also email us your questions and your comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. This next email, Mike, comes from Darcy. She said, Colossians 3, 6, verse 5. Well, no. Colossians 3, 6, verse 5. That's not right. But anyway, I think it's Colossians 3, 6. It says, put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature and immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. That's verse 5. Here's verse 6. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. What do you think that they were talking about when they wrote that in Colossians?
Well, we have to back up and read Colossians in context. And if you read it in context, you know that Paul is talking about something that, because of the subject matter in Colossians, you know that there really is, how do you put to death your members, as the King James Version says, and says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It doesn't say it is going to come. It says, for this cause, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And first off, you've got to understand, how do you put to death? How do you put to death sin? How do you put to death the sin nature? And there's only one way to put to death the sin nature, and Jesus has done it. This is the very argument that Paul is bringing about. And again, trying to show us the validity of the cross and the futility of man putting to death his own sin nature, or putting to death sin based on his own performance, or mortifying, therefore, the deeds of the body. How do you kill the deeds of the body? How do you kill the deeds of the flesh? How do you kill sin? How do you kill your humanness in the eyes of God? How does your humanness become a non-issue in the eyes of God? Well, no man can make his own humanness a non-issue in the eyes of God. And that's Paul's point, is that if you are doing it in your own effort, there's nothing left to look for except the wrath of God. But if we read the chapters before that, that's where Paul has so eloquently described the gospel. And this is the problem. We reach in and pull verses out of context because we've heard somebody preach on it. But how about reading the chapters before it? And that's where that it comes into clear context. That and the thing of it is if somebody thinks they can actually mortify the deeds of their body, if they can put to death their own sin, then Jesus died in vain. This is the issue. Are you going to have to put to death sin by your own effort, for which the wrath of God is coming upon that sin that you are trying to put to death, which you cannot put to death your own sin in the eyes of God? It was Christ that has put to death all sin in the eyes of God. This is the very things that we talk about and emphasize, and it's these verses and many such things, as Paul would have said, in Galatians, under the list of people that won't make it into the kingdom of God based on the law. Paul is showing the magnificence of this gospel. He's saying, okay, go ahead, you do it. You put to death these things. You put these things to death because you know that the wrath of God's coming on these things. But see, thank God for chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 of Colossians, because there is where we understand that this work has already taken place. Therefore, me putting effort into mortifying or putting to death the deeds of my body in the eyes of God has been done. It's been done by Jesus, because it is quite evident that no human being can put to death is what he says, the deeds of their own body.
You know, but people have tried to. And we have,
yes.
We had this story just a few weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, of the young man who castrated himself. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Yes.
And he died.
Yeah.
And he tried. I mean, you know what they do in the Philippines, Michael, on Easter?
Yeah,
they literally freaking nail themselves
yeah.
to the cross.
Yes.
That's taking the words literally.
Absolutely, and you know, and I have more respect for them than I do just, you know, bringing verses out of context and telling people that it's their job, because it doesn't make any difference who's asking the question. Everyone on the face of planet Earth knows they have never put to death the deeds of their body. The everything that is by the law described as unacceptable to God. No one has ever put to death the deeds of their body, because the deeds of the body include, according to Jesus' accurate teaching of the law, includes even if you have a thought about it. So to put the deeds to put to death the deeds of the body, you have to put to death your thought life. You can't even think about it.
That would mean a lot of suicide happening. A lot more.
Absolutely.
As horrible as it is, and it happens, and a lot of it is from people who have religious backgrounds,
yes,
no doubt.
Absolutely.
That's the only way to end that thing, is
yes.
just to off yourself.
And that's it. And the sad thing is that the understanding is that only total that only death can bring an end to this.
Oh, but we have good news.
Yes, and death can bring an end to this. But the thing of it is that death did bring it.
Yes, come on now, preach it.
And the death of Jesus Christ has brought an end to this struggle. And that's when, you know, when people ask these questions, my heart literally aches and sometimes almost breaks, because it brings to clarity where we are stuck in an Old Testament mentality, to where that we cannot even take the totality of even one teacher, Paul, even within the context of his own teaching, within the context of the book he's teaching in, and realize that he's already taught that this magnificent work has already been accomplished at the cross. And then bringing us to that final nail in the coffin, if you will, to say, go ahead, do it. Go ahead, do it. You put to death the deeds in your body. You know that the wrath of God, but see, even the threat of the wrath of God does not empower us to put to death the deeds of our body. No amount of threat has been able to do it. And that's the reason for the magnificent revelation of the cross, that our deeds have already been dealt with, and they have been dealt with by death, and death not only of Jesus Christ, but we ourselves also, as Paul, the same teacher who taught this, said that if one died, then all are dead. So we've already died. We've already died to all of the works of the flesh. We're already dead to the law. We're dead to sin. We are alive to righteousness, and now it's time to wake up to that righteousness, as Paul so eloquently taught.
And not surprising, and with all due respect to Darcy, obviously I don't know who Darcy is, but she's a nice lady that has emailed us from time to time, I'm sure.
Yes.
She said the apostles did a lot of fasting and praying and suffering in order to preach the grace message. Salvation is still a mindset that needs to be renewed daily. Now, we can agree with everything that you just said, right? This is kind of like the Barack Obama quote.
Yeah.
Or she says, if we do not, we fall back into works, the works of the flesh. And she goes, right? That's not right, Dars, by what you're saying. The flesh there is talking about we get back into self-righteousness. That's the flesh. It is true. If we don't keep the gospel and the salvation of Jesus forefront, the Old Testament calls it prophesying about how Jesus would be like frontlets between our eyes. The religious Jewish people literally had these black boxes. It's called tefillin, and they wrap it around their heads. Literally, Michael, it's got scripture. Literally, they put it right on their head. That's pretty good. I mean, that's taking it literally. But if we do not keep that he has fulfilled all of the prophecies, all of the law, all of sin that he died for, then we do get back into self-righteousness, Michael, and that is true. But what Darcy is talking about is basically, you know, smoking, drinking, chewing, and, you know,
well, back
hanging around with girls that do.
The Colossians quote is what's being referred to again, because that's the context of both questions. And it's a misunderstanding of what the works of the flesh are. The works of the flesh are not the deeds of the body, as what Paul was talking about in Colossians. The works of the flesh is the attempts to do right, to make right your relationship with God. That is the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh is not what you do wrong. The works of the flesh are the laws that you keep trying to right your relationship with God or maintain a right relationship with God. Now, it does not mean by any means, which I feel foolish to have to even say it, but we do. It is not to say that works and deeds are irrelevant in a human life. Everybody knows that. I mean, people go to prison all the time because of their deeds that they have done. They can go to prison. Doesn't mean you're always going to go to prison for your deeds. Some people get by with it.
And some people, depending on their station in life, go away to prison for no time, see O.J. Simpson. And some people, because of their positions in life and who they represent, go away for longer than they would, see Paris Hilton. Now, speaking of Paris, Michael.
I didn't know we were.
Now we are. Paris Hilton was liberated. Paris was set free, if you will, the other day. And there was a huge crowd, of course. Now, she went into prison. She had a long sentence for what she was charged with. And then they brought her out, then they put her back in. And somewhere along the way, Paris Hilton was cited carrying a Bible around and also got the word through her media people that she has found God.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's say, for example, that she has had some sort of salvation experience, she has some sort of understanding of Christ, you know, would to God that is true. If she tries to change her naughty ways in order to please that God that she has now been forgiven by, what awaits her?
Well, she thinks her jail sentence was long. I mean, the prison that she would be going into mentally and emotionally would be endless. And it's a prison that you can never predict exactly what's going to the bondage that the individual is going to experience, but it always leads to a prison.
You know, there's a couple personal examples in my life other than my person. when I was in college, Bob Dylan got saved, and I went to see him in concert in St. Louis. This is before I had my spiritual awakening, if you will. And all he wanted to do was preach Jesus to, you know, 15,000 people at the Checkers Arena in St. Louis. And people were booing him and everything, but he didn't know it at the time. But the best thing that ever happened to Bob Dylan is the evangelical Christian community did not embrace him. And he was able to kind of navigate through that and come out the other side without getting sucked in like other figures have been sucked in, like a Pat Boone comes to mind, what's his name, the guy that was Charles Colson. And then they go on to lead their hypocritical, right-wing conservative lives. That the reason I can say hypocritical is because nobody can live up to it.
Right.
And plus, they're the ultimate biblical hypocrites because they start judging people for being guilty of the very thing they were people in, or for the things that they did and do. That's hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen. And so thank God Bob Dylan didn't get sucked in. But I used to be partner with the New York Yankees, and a guy named Daryl Strawberry was a very good baseball player, very troubled guy. He's been in all national news for years, in and out of drug problems, in and out of jail. And I was headquartered at Legend Stadium in the Yankees spring training facility, and I was standing next to Daryl Strawberry. And Michael, this is when your influence really, really was starting to have a major impact in my life. And I heard him talking about the Lord, and I knew what his back was, and his past was, and I knew what was going to happen to that. I tried to help him, of course, but, you know, within months, he was back in prison in his orange jumpsuit again.
It's
as sure as the sun setting in the West. It's a guarantee. You could take it to the bank. If you have a spiritual experience with Christ, and then you try to please him, you try to please that God, ladies and gentlemen, who forgave you without cause, forgave you for nothing but the grace of God, for the grace of God literally meaning favor that cannot be merited, you are going to be miserable. And as Michael said, it's going to look like a vacation in the Bahamas to Paris Hilton, that prison sentence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the isolation that it leads to, it first off begins to isolate you from people that you've known all of your life. You begin to axe people out of your life, and you destroy relationships, and all for the name of having the right kind of relationship.
Exactly.
Which means having other fake people around you.
Exactly.
Trying to fake their way through this the same way as we were, and then wonder in absolute shock why they all depart from you when you wind up in a fault, or what they would call a fault, or they're in a fault and you wind up departing from them, and everybody's departing from everybody because everybody's got this imaginary standard.
It is such a hideous atmosphere. It's toxic to live in that. We who are in the church, in Christianity, know exactly what I'm talking about. But Michael, you are starting an experience and an experiment, if you will, down in Houston, where actually there's people gathered on a weekly basis down there in Houston at the Freedom Worship Center, where John Adair is the pastor. And you can go to the gospelrevolution.com website, ladies and gentlemen, and get information about Mike. If he ain't on the road, he's there. So you literally could go and hear him in Houston. And that's just the reality. But as we went down this thing the last 10 years or so, of course, we get questions all the time about where's the church, and we really didn't think that it was possible. But it kind of seems to be working out, doesn't it? Why don't I let the folks know what's going on and how that feels? And it ain't a toxic atmosphere at Freedom Worship Center, is it?
No, it isn't. And and the thing of it is that there's the thing that that everyone in this group of believers here has resolved is God's view and opinion of us and of everyone. Everyone in this group of believers understands that God's angry with no one, that God has redeemed everyone, that everyone is equal in God's eyes, and that that was already done at the cross 2,000 years ago. And then the working out of how we view God, and this is the big challenge, and this is where we must give each other latitude, if you will, because this is where that I'm beginning to see that it is my expression of my love, my grace, and my peace to extend to others to view God differently than I view him. Because we cannot have a view or an opinion of God outside of personal experience. Because I would love to tell you that everything I think about God, now please listen to this very clearly. I would love to tell you that everything that I think about God is scripturally based.
Or is right for that matter.
or right at all in any degree. Because I cannot separate the experiences that I have and have not had that portrays how I view God. But this is where we must give each other freedom, because the basis of the gospel is not a revelation of an accurate revelation of how you're supposed to view God. The gospel is an accurate, precise, and concise, logical, understandable declaration of how God views us individually, collectively, bypassing all degrees of knowledge and all degrees of spirituality, lack of spirituality, degrees of morality, lack of morality, that God's view and opinion never changes based on the work of the cross. Now, this group of believers, I have come to see that and, of course, I've seen that just even in traveling. But here I get to experience it more because these are people I'm rubbing shoulders with on a daily basis and a weekly basis, that their views of God, well, you and I have gone through that. Our views of how God, what God does and doesn't do is drastically different.
Wait a minute. Wait. You're telling me that we disagree on something? Come on.
Yes, and I don't know when you're going to come over to my side.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. Hey.
But this is the issue with the gospel. And I don't budge. Let me tell you. Now people know this about me. I will entertain any question, but I'm always going to respond to that based on the gospel. Now when it comes to, and it's only been recently in the last few years, I've stopped answering questions about healing, prayer, because everybody, this is a personal experience that people have different perceptions about God. There's people that truly believe that God has their day planned out. But they can believe that, even though I do not embrace that.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference.
I believe that, okay, and Michael knows I believe that.
Yes.
It's a whole other discussion.
Yes, it's a whole different thing.
But I think it's important, Michael, for people to know that we actually, I mean, like, what's your favorite color?
I don't have a favorite color.
Okay, well, I do. All right, see, there's things that we differ on, ladies and gentlemen. My favorite color is green. I like the color green. It's very natural.
Well, I
color.
Like green on grass, but it wouldn't be pretty in the sky, so that's the reason I don't have a favorite color.
But, you know, and that's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is that we can disagree about it. Michael and I even sometimes talked about politics. Ooh, you can't talk about religion or politics. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. We want to welcome Greg from Cincinnati.
All right.
Greg, there he is. Greg, you're online with Michael Williams, Glenn Klein. What's happening in, what's Cincinnati called?
I'm up north of Cincinnati.
Oh, I was told Cincinnati.
Okay, I say. Yeah.
Yeah, but wait, what's Cincinnati called? It's the something city. The written, what is it? Somebody.
Queen City.
The Queen City.
Yeah.
Michael, I got to say it.
No further comments.
I'm not going to say it.
How you
doing?
We are looking forward to Mike coming up to Richmond, Indiana, which is pretty close here.
Yes.
in August, so we're going to be over there for that. But when you guys were talking about the previous topic, I was reminded a couple days ago I was over at a friend's house. He's a Christian friend, and he was watching a gospel music thing, and there was an artist on there who had had one of those faux pas incidents back in the 90s and had actually been forced to give his Dove Awards back.
Oh.
Because he had had some sort of an affair or something. And yeah. I just looked at him in stunned disbelief. Said, "You're kidding me. He had to give his awards back?"
No, you got the story, Greg. You got the story wrong. He actually had to give his Dove Bar dessert bars back. That's really that's what bummed him out. I would be bummed if somebody took my Dove bars. Are good. Those are flat good.
Exactly.
Now this happens all the time. How about losing your minister's license? How about losing your reputation?
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, it's rampant. It is absolute obsession that these people have with controlling the lives of other human beings. And people, there are certain types of individuals that are directed into this kind of line of work, that this controlling personality. Religion is at the top of the list. Law enforcement, government, teaching.
Yes.
I can say this, Greg, as a former camp director, camp directing. Yeah, that's the ultimate control thing, dude. Because you wake them up in the morning. They don't. You decide what time they're going to go out. You decide what time they're going to go to bed. We used to have backwards day at camp, and backwards day, I'd wake them up to taps, and we would have spaghetti and meatballs for breakfast just because I wanted to. That's control, my friend.
Glenn, we have seen the marriage of the religious right and the political right in Ohio to where in the last 6 to 8 months, we've tacked on restrictions that probably make us the most Taliban-like state in the union.
Are they wearing burqas there yet?
Just about. They're just about to bring the burqas out because the state legislature is so controlled by one man who is living he's the ultimate control freak. That should they buck him on any of these bills that he proposes, he just threatens to have the religious right beat him in the primary. So every Republican in the state of Ohio is terrified to vote no against anything, and they've actually have a bill now in the state of Ohio that's going to make it you'll get a DUI conviction, which will give points on your driver's license for water skiing under the influence of alcohol. I'm not making that up. Not driving the boat. Water skiing, because they're trying to outlaw alcohol.
Right, exactly. It's going to be illegal to be under the influence of alcohol when you're drinking alcohol pretty soon.
Exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We've just seen. One of the guys that you had on, the other guys besides Mike, the libertarian guy on the webcast I listened to last week.
Thank you.
He makes so much sense.
Thank
because
you.
Libertarianism politically seems to just go hand in hand with the gospel. And
because what it's about is for those that are interested, you can listen to the archive. What it's about is freedom and responsibility.
And responsibility.
Michael, I loved what you said before, Michael, that we are not in any way, shape, or form talking about not having personal responsibility for consequences in one's life. That is, it doesn't even need to be said. Of course.
Exactly.
Of course there's responsibility. But
And there's some degree of trepidation about life because life's an adventure. And that's the way it is with our spiritual life. We don't have a list of rules that tell us exactly what we have to do. And it makes life interesting. It makes your spiritual life interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just boring. Here's your set of rules. Here's how you get to heaven. It's Jesus Christ has freed you for the sake of freedom.
Exactly.
It is for freedom that he set us free.
Preach it, brother.
And we live and we walk in that freedom. And sometimes that's a little scary. We're free to make mistakes. We're free to make bad decisions.
Let me, I guess you could call it a prophecy. let me tell you what's going to happen for the state of Ohio and the religious superstructure that has taken control there. And I know that our brother Rod Parsley is a great deal of that.
He is, man.
Control.
That guy is wild, isn't he?
In the state of Ohio, but let me prophesy all over the place. It's coming down. You know, I never get really frightened when I see legalism really raise up strong, because for me, all it's doing is because it can't support its own weight.
Right, it's got to burn itself out eventually.
It cannot support its own weight. It is because it's faulty from the foundation. It will collapse on its own morality, or lack thereof. It will come to an end. You'll see this crash. You'll see the state of Ohio swing drastically toward a liberal state just the next few years.
You know, we elected in November the first statewide Democrat, and I've been primarily a Republican most of my life, but we elected the first Democrat in statewide office in I don't know how long. I mean, when you're talking about senators, governors, those big offices, and our legislature was controlled or still is controlled by the Republicans. But our governor, his approval ratings are through the roof. And he's the only one that's calling some of this stuff what it is, just ridiculousness by the religious right.
And thank God for the state of Ohio, Greg, because in the last presidential election, you guys stood up and took our place as the fools of the nation. And we really appreciated it. It made Florida look a lot. Our hanging chads and dimple chads didn't look so bad.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. All right, Greg, I remember getting an email from you when we first reinvigorated this webcast, and you noticed the links on the webpage, and you were like, freedom, freedom, freedom. And I was so blessed, man. I was so touched because you get it. That's what it's about. It was for freedom, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ set us free. Hey, Greg, thanks a lot, and we're looking forward to seeing you in Indiana, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that's Greg from the Queen City, or thereabouts, in the beautiful Buckeye State of Ohio. Do you know that Ohio is the number one indoor tanning state in the country?
Well, why would you know that?
Because I am the tan man.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Well, I'm not really that tan. I'm my background, unlike yourself, it really resists tan, because I'm Ukrainian, and I'm Lithuanian. I'm Polish. But these are not tanning people. But my skin does tan. Yeah, the skin does tan, and I do get the benefits, of course, from the sun and from the tanning bed, the vitamin D, the endorphins. I look good. But you, with your Native American background,
and
damn it,
part Turkish.
Turkish, yes.
Yes.
Turkish.
Turk and part Cherokee.
Yeah, you tan up good, dude.
Yeah.
Well, let's remind everybody to go to the Gospel Revolution webpage, because the information about the Indiana meeting that Greg referenced is all over that, and that's coming up in August. We've got, as we spoke earlier, meetings coming in Canada and Wisconsin, and you go to all the nice cool places during the summer.
Oh, I'm not sure that Indiana is cool in the summer.
But Indiana wants you, and you must go back there.
And I will go back there.
Michael, thanks for fighting through your whatever you got. Everybody extend your hands now to your laptops and to your screens on your computer.
Yes.
And start doing whatever you do. And I'm headed to the cool weather, as I said earlier. And Dawn and I have a 11:55 flight. We will be on the lake by about 4:30 Central Time. And looking very much forward to that. Glenn Klein, the best of, coming your way in the next couple weeks. We will be in touch, as always, by the emails. You'd be in touch, too. You can email us at any time by going to the gospelrevolution.com webpage, or just at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And as we were talking to Chris Myers early from Augusta, consider having Mike come to your area, really. You just click on the Invite Mike button and just start the process. And we got some other exciting news. We're reinvigorating the Gospel Revolution point person program, the GRIP program. Tim Pruitt is all over that, like white on rice, speaking of white. And I'm flying on a jet plane.
Yes.
That's all you got for me?
Yes.
All right. He's toast, ladies and gentlemen, but you did good, Mikey.
Thank you.
As
my
always.
Voice lasted.
Yeah, you did. It made it. We really appreciate it. Patrick Jones lasted, our executive engineer and producer. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and you're all cool with him. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!